Good Wednesday. We've got 8 days until Dodger baseball. We've got 15 days, I should say, until Clipper and Laker basketball.
Yay!
They go against each other. But we got
what? Did y'all do Taco Tuesday yesterday?
No, not in my house.
No. Okay, go ahead.
I did spaghetti.
Mama did salmon.
I don't understand. It's Tuesday, man.
Mama wanted spaghetti. My mama wanted spaghetti. When Mama says make spaghetti, you know what I do? I make spaghetti. Mama wanted spaghetti. That's it.
You from the can?
What do you mean from the can? What are you talking about, man? I was walking in. My mama came in and said, ooh, that looks so good. And then she thought I was making ground beef, but it was beyond meat. But I had it done and seasoned up just right. She didn't even know.
No, if you do it right, they won't know.
Yeah.
I promise you that. But, yeah, Travis, the Dodgers, baby, we're getting ready to roll.
Yeah, we're getting closer to that. That's a week and a day away. But we're – what is it here? It's 8 o'clock here. We got 5 hours, Key, until Dak needs to sign an extension or he's got to play on that contract. And you're getting fired up about the perception or at least the narrative that's getting put out there that, oh, he's not a primetime performer. And you explained why you don't think that's true. That's fine. If it's not that, what is it? If it's not what that is, what Dan Orlovsky's saying, which is, look, he doesn't play well against the better teams, that the stats are a little hollow,
guys. No. He didn't play well in certain instances last season against certain defenses.
Winning teams.
It's not every single year he's been in the league. See, that's the thing that Dan Orlovsky is leaving out. He's trying to send the message as if it's been since he's been in the league, and that is not factually true. It's just not.
So then what is it? Why are we here with 5 hours to go and it's not done when every other guy that's had a contract issue on that team has got it taken care of? Yeah, right?
You know, it's just – it could be anything. It could be the deal was getting close, then all of a sudden Patrick Mahomes signed, and then it changed the landscape. They got on the phone and said, nope. We want $50 million a year. And they like, well, we ain't giving it to you. Or it could be take that period out of that sentence and run it this way. Change that letter over there. And they're like, nope, we're not doing it. It could be as simple as that. Or it could be I want to get all $130 million in a 12-month calendar. It could be as simple as that. We don't know what it is, but I can assure you it ain't because they think that Dak Prescott can't play the position. That's not true, Raj.
Something is true, though, Key.
Stuck with honey on
Something is true, though, Key. Something is true. Because this is the premier franchise in the Premier League. This is the premier position. And if any position you want to have secured, if you think you got it right, it's the quarterback position. And so something is not connecting with the perception within the body of the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. Now, personally, Key, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that that wasn't their – they were surprised when they got him and that he wasn't immediately embraced as a starter during his rookie year. And I continue just to see elements of that. They're not sold on him the way that other franchises are sold when they find their guy. And I think that's abundantly clear now.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. I think if anything, the landscape has changed significantly from when Patrick Mahomes did his deal to where we are today.
Patrick Mahomes just signed his
deal. Yeah, they've had 2 years.
We've been talking about this for 2 years.
Yes, but they offered – you act like they didn't get this man a contract. Y'all sitting up here acting like he didn't get, at the time, the top quarterback contract in the NFL at the time. They didn't offer him the top quarterback contract. Did they not, or did they?
We don't know.
So now all of a sudden nobody knows. You know every damn thing else about it, but you don't know this.
I ain't never seen it.
Well, here, let me ask you this, Keith. Where do you get your information that he had the top salary offered to him? Because the only information that we got that was reported and confirmed was about the franchise tag.
Well, no, that's not true. Numbers were floated out, not only by our top guy and Adam.
Floating's not reporting, though, Keith.
Only I trust our top guy and Adam Shefty. And when Shefty says that the numbers were this, That's what I got to believe. I got to believe. Then why?
Okay, look, I'm not calling his reporting into question, but I'm calling Dak Prescott's decision making into question.
Well,
if he
got
the most lucrative deal in NFL history, and somebody says, here's the contract, this makes you the richest quarterback in anybody in the history of this league. You're on the Dallas Cowboys. You're on a good team. We got a chance. We got a new head coach. We're going to go win some games. Let's go. And your response is, I'm going to wait.
But
then there's something going on here.
But you got to think like you and not like him. We don't know the way he's thinking. We would be like, okay, him and his crew over at CAA think something different. You know, CAA, they run it all. They the big enchilada. They got the three red letters. So you're going to listen to everything they say. Everything they say is not right. So they may be negotiating this contract. It may not be doing the best job by not having their client sign it. Okay, we don't know all the details that's in it. There's something that's in it that they don't like, or something that's in it that they don't get. They want more, and the Cowboys obviously feel different about it. Doesn't mean because the Cowboys feel a certain way about the contract means that they don't like the quarterback.
Well, here's the question, Keith. In 2 years, is Dak Prescott the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys?
History says no.
I would say it all depends on how he plays this year. If he plays like he thinks he's going to play, then he'll probably wind up getting a lucrative deal because he's going to push the envelope to the $39 million with a flat cap or a lower cap next year. So they won't be able to do some of the financial things that they would normally be able to do. So, therefore, they're put in a different type of position. It's a risk on both sides at this point. It's a risk on him that anything can happen, and it's a risk on them taking a chance that if he pans out the way that everybody would want him to, that they're going to have to pay him more money. If I'm the owners, I'm willing to take that risk because that means you played pretty damn good, so I'm willing to pay you at the level that the market is at that time that we need to sign the deal. They were willing to pay him where the market was at the time they offered him the deal. The market has since changed, even though Patrick Mahomes only did it a week ago. A week is a long time for the market to change on you, LZ. Think about it. The pandemic, contracts in television was being pushed around earlier in the year. Yeah. They ain't the same now.
They sure ain't the same. You're absolutely right about that. But I do know this.
Things change.
If somebody came to me saying, we're going to make you the richest journalist in the history of journalism, the last
Where's
thing
the
I'm going to do,
Where's
the last
pen?
Thing I'm going to do,
but
Travis,
you know
is be like,
you.
Going, yeah, but I'm not going to be yeah, but.
But that's you, though. You also ain't going to leave outside the bubble. But that's you.
But it could look, we can. The semantics of his deal, right, the richest contract, this, it could be one of those things. Yes, if you hit all these incentives that are very difficult to hit, you're the richest guy ever, and he's saying no to that. I keep coming back to this. This is like a relationship, right? This is a relationship that one side of this relationship does not want to make the long-term commitment. And when this has happened previously, both times, and this has only happened twice in the history of the league, where a quarterback ends up playing on the tag, both times – that quarterback has ended up being somewhere else in the very near future. That Drew Brees was in San Diego, got tagged, goes to New Orleans. That Kirk Cousins was tagged twice in D.C. and then went to Minnesota to play for the Vikings. Because clearly the Chargers didn't want to make a long-term commitment because they had Phillip Rivers cooking right there and they knew that he was their next guy. And Washington didn't want to do it with Kirk Cousins because they just didn't think he was the guy. I don't want to pay the going rate for the quarterback for you because you're not going to make the difference. Somebody in this relationship does not believe that Dak Prescott is the future of this team or else it would be done. It's as simple as that. If they believe that he was the guy, I don't need to see anymore, right? This is a guy coming into his fifth year in the league. I know what Dak Prescott is. I know that he's a pretty good player. I know that he's got some holes in his game. I know that he hasn't had a ton of success against the top teams. That's fine. But to your point, Key, if my eyeball test is telling me that dude can play the position, that's the guy I want to have be my quarterback for the next 6, 7, 8 years, then it would be done. There's something about this beyond just structure, beyond just dollars, about it's more about I don't know if I want to be connected to you, married to you, in a long-term relationship to you, with you over the next decade or thereabouts.
You do understand there's people out there that have franchise tags on them that have not signed long-term deals. Does that mean that the Tennessee Titans don't like Henry? Does that mean that because he hasn't signed a long-term
deal? No. Okay, let me answer that real quick. What that could mean is that running backs are like, you know, milk.
Oh, when they go bad, God, they don't go bad. Do this.
What are
don't
you talking about? This, when these guys all of a sudden go bad, that's it. Why would I want to be connected to a running back long-term when I can tag him at a price that I can go year to year with him and I don't have to do it long-term?
Man, don't do that. Don't do
Why?
Because there's backs that got long-term deals that they just recently signed.
I'm not saying that there aren't guys with long-term deals. I'm saying that doing a long-term deal is fine, but there's also a reason not to do a long-term deal with a running back specifically that has nothing to do whether you like him or not.
Well, I feel the same way for quarterback. And I think Kirk Cousins was a situation where they did not like him in Washington. They didn't even try to get a long-term. They didn't offer him a long-term deal. They offered him a deal that wasn't – it was like, okay, you could have this, which is that, but – that's all we got for you. Where Dallas and Dak Prescott have been going back and forward for a year and a half or so since he was eligible to get an extension, and they gotten to a point where they offered big money. I don't know what the structure is, but they offered him big money, and he decided that he wanted to just sit tight and sign the franchise tag. He got 4.5 hours to go. So maybe they're hammering it out now, and maybe he's having another party at his house. Who knows?
Well, either way, it's a win either way. You get a party or you get a couple $100 million. Win-win. All right. Friend of the program, Clinton Yates, will join us. We'll ask him about Walker Buehler. We'll get his thoughts on the NBA bubble. All that's next right here on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right. Clinton is going to join us here coming up in just a little bit. Did you guys see what Jimmy Butler wanted to do with his jersey, that he wants to leave it blank?
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, I thought so, too. He wanted to leave no name on the back of his jersey because if he weren't an NBA player, quote, he'd be no different than anyone else of color. I thought that was a really powerful message.
And what are they saying?
We're waiting to hear.
Chances are, I bet you they allow him to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty dope. Jimmy's had himself an interesting couple of 24 hours, hasn't he?
The dribbling?
Somebody snitched on him. Maybe Chris Paul lives underneath his room, because apparently Jimmy Butler was just kind of practicing dribbling in his room in a hotel, and someone called security and said that he was disturbing the peace.
Did they really call security?
Well, they called.
Somebody did.
They called the front desk and were like, "Going, yeah." They called a popo, the hotel's version of the popo, because he was dribbling late at night in his hotel room.
This is a really good example, though. I think his idea, for instance, of, you know, I want to leave it blank. And the reason that he gave is why I think the NBA should have at least gone case by case. Like, look, if you guys want to do something on your jersey, let us know what you want to do. And we'll either say yes or no. And we'll look at it, as opposed to here's a list. And I know they gave a pretty long list. I mean, there's 30 different options, but this was not one of the options. And it's a great option. You know, it's just because it's a powerful message. Why isn't his name on there? When the explanation comes, well, he believes that if he weren't an NBA player and you didn't know what he looks like and you didn't know his name, he'd be at risk like so many other people of color. And that's the message. He said, that's powerful, man.
Well, that's the great thing about it, is it is powerful. And I agree with him 100%. And even with people knowing you and your name on the back of your jersey, you're still at risk. People still will do things to you and try and do, you know. So this notion that just because we celebrities and athletes that nothing ever happens to us is a lie. Okay, just look at the kid in Milwaukee, the Bucks player a couple years ago, that was arrested and put face down and the whole deal. I can't think of his name. You probably could think of it, LZ, really quick. But he went through issues. Many years ago, Jamal Wilkes here in Los Angeles, the great legendary Laker Hall of Famer, went through issues with the police.
Well, James Blake got tackled outside of a bank in New York City.
James Blake tackled outside of New York. I get it. I understand it. And at times, you know, I feel just like him, Butler. You get a pass at certain times on certain things, but then also people treat you differently when they don't know who you are. They look at you, treat you way different, and when they realize who you are, They go, oh, hey, yeah, sure, why not? We got four. If you got four, we'll certainly give you a table for four. When it's like, well, you got to wait. You got to wait just like everybody else. Well, where's everybody else at? Nobody else is out here. Mm-hmm. Well, we got an hour wait. They went away. They'll come back later. I mean, you get treated the same when nobody knows who you are. So I agree with you 100%.
Absolutely. And the only example you really need, and it's a subtle thing, but it's so real, and it cuts to the white meat, no pun intended, but it does, is that when you look at the police report for Tiger Woods, it didn't say Caliban Asian or whatever the hell he calls himself.
It's black.
It said black. Yeah. and that's what you need to remember. It's like when the ish went down,
you were black. Oh, no,
amen,
black,
my
dog. Question about it. Oh, no question about it. O.J. Simpson, yeah, he was white for a long time. But when it went down, guess where he had to come back to? Crenshaw and Slauson. He had to get back over in that area.
I don't know what's going on with America.
He had to come back home because they wasn't having it. So, yeah, of course. That's the reality of it. And then again, it makes sense because if you're not a star, you're not an athlete, people just look at you different. You know, it's a great story. And I may have said to you guys, it was out of the Washington Post a while ago when the whole George Floyd thing was, you know, took over and swept the country. It was somebody put a letter together in the Washington Post, and they were just saying how, you know, it's great to everybody, oh, you're my friend. It has something to do with being anti-racist. And I'm your friend, I'm your white friend, or I'm your Asian friend, and this, that, and the other. But yet and still, you really are my friend, only my friend because you really want my picture on your mantle because I'm wearing a jersey. And you really only want to be able to say you know me because I live next door to you in the big house and I drive a Bentley and fancy cars and I play basketball in the driveway with your kids. But if I was anybody other than that, you wouldn't have two words for me. It was powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So kudos to Jimmy Butler for making that point. And, you know, hopefully as the games are being broadcasted, the commentators reiterate why it's blank. Because that's as important as anything. You know, it's like the favorite scene from Do the Right Thing. You know, when Mookie is talking to one of the sons in the pizzeria. And he's
Mookie
like,
is
man,
Spike Lee, by the way, Travis.
Mookie is Spike Lee, yes.
I've seen the movie. Yes, thank you, Keith.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about, Travis, where he's like going, but you like Magic Johnson, and you like Michael Jordan, and you like this black guy. And he's like, yeah, they special, though. They different. And Mookie's like, no, they're not, man. No, they're not. They're black, just like me. And he's like, nah, they ain't really. You know, because they got to figure out a way to still celebrate what you do for their teams or why they appreciate you with their, you know, complicit racism. Well, and so by having it blank, he's just reminding you that we're all the same.
Like you said, though, the important part of this is it has to be mentioned because we've seen it before. You know, sometimes you'll see a guy show up at a game with no name on his jersey and you assume there was a laundry snafu or an equipment snafu or somebody just got called up. Now, we're going to know that Jimmy Butler isn't a recent call-up because he's Jimmy Butler. We know who he is. But if you don't say periodically, oh, hey, the reason that it doesn't say Butler across the back of his jersey is because of, and then relay the message that he wants, that I'm no different than anyone else of color if I'm not an NBA player, it has to be mentioned over and over again. And that's where I have faith in the NBA. That's where I have faith in the NBA's approach to these issues, is instead of just letting it sit there and not mentioning it the way that I think some other leagues might, the NBA will go out of their way to highlight it.
Yeah. And the NBA has been good at doing that for quite some time. I mean, you know, and there's a few leagues, MLS, and there's a couple other leagues that's probably trying to catch up to the NBA, but the NBA is so far ahead of it because the NBA promotes the personal, you know, endorsement to the individual. They want individuality. And it's been that way for years where everything else is so confined. It's like, you know, we've been doing it this way for so long in the NFL. We don't want to change. We're not going to change it. It took forever for the NFL to allow individuality with players, and they only do it for 1 week. Yeah, you can write on your shoes and you can do that. Man, we have been trying to do that stuff for so long, and they just wasn't having it. They was bucking it for so long, and then they realized, this may be a good thing. We can raise revenue by doing this. And now they allow you to have specialized shoes. And because they were so far behind, they wanted to keep it the same old way.
Yeah, but they're doing it to sell shoes. They're not doing it because they think it's the right thing to do. And that's the biggest difference of all. All right, we found Clinton. He is going to join us. That's coming up next in the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right. All right, now we've got him. Clinton Yates, friend of the show, joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. What's your alarm clock? Brady, what's going on?
And see, Clinton.
I hate you for playing that drop, Raj. I know you said that, but that's fine.
And this is the reason why. You were supposed to be on with 20 minutes ago, and this is the reason why. And you want
okay, are you upset, too? Would you call the snitch line on me? That's
I ain't called no snitch. I didn't call no snitch line. I'm just saying we had you teed up, ready to go, and Raj kept saying, well, you got to come on at the bottom. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is the reason why. We complain all the time, but this is the reason why.
All right, how are you?
I'm good.
How are you? Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Clinton, are you surprised that the snitch line is blowing up reportedly? Is that a surprise to you at all?
Oh,
it's a bit of a surprise in that if you just got there and you're trying to figure out what's going on with your routine in terms of how you're getting together with your squad, in terms of how you're going to figure out how you're going to go about your work, in terms of just like sorting out the lay of the land to play the game. Like, how do you have time to be calling up phone lines or dropping emails on people to talk about what other people are doing? You know what I mean? Like, it seems like there's probably something in between what the snitch line is and what is just a normal, can you stop doing whatever you're doing line? And if they don't figure that out, if I'm hearing stories about Jimmy Butler, air quotes here, dribbling basketballs all night in his room and coming up sweaty to the door, why do you need to call somebody to rat him out for that? Why can't you just call him or whoever's with him in order to solve that? It just seems like it's too much too hectic from a logistics standpoint.
Well, that's because you're not doing it, right? I mean, like, and I told them, I said, when you're not able to get it in or get it out, then you got a problem with that. So it ain't really necessarily snitching. It's more about I can't do what you're doing. So if I can't do it, then you ain't going to be allowed to do it either. Oh!
See, that's weird for me. And I know that, like, for guys at that level, things are different. But, Key, let me ask you, I mean, like, how inclined would you be to call somebody on something like this if you were in a situation like that? I mean, would it depend on whether or not you thought your team was going to be any good? Like, what possesses you at that point to say, hey, I'm going to drop a dime on this fool like we're in Belly and what's his name? Tyron Turner is eating bananas. You know?
I worry about my own house from burning down. I don't have time to worry about what the hell Clinton Yates is doing. If you're on my team and you doing something you're not supposed to be doing, then I have to pick it up where you left off at. I can't get caught up in you leaving the bubble and you, I can't get, you know, I might say to you, say, man, don't leave the bubble, dog. You're going to go come back and you're going to make us all sick. And then if you still do it, that's on you. You got to deal with them consequences. I can't get caught up in that. I ain't in your business like that. I'm just not in it.
But here's the deal though, Key, in that analogy, it's right. You need to make sure your house doesn't burn down. But if your neighbor house is on fire, what's going on next door could have implications of what's going to happen to your front door.
Oh. Yep. Yeah, but I'm going to talk to you about it. And if you decide that you're going to go ahead and go outside the gates, outside the perimeter, the border, and that's what you're going to do, then I'm not getting involved in that. I just can't. I'm not that type of dude. I'm not built like that. I'm not in your business. I don't. If you want to sneak 50 women in your room, it's not my problem. You the one that's got to deal with that.
Especially the fee. That's expensive.
No, I'm just not into that. I'm not into somebody else's business. I don't care about gossiping about somebody else's damn business.
Clinton, if guys are calling on each other right now, we've already seen a couple of, you know, what seem to be fairly minor infractions with guys violating the quarantine rules. Do you think we get to the end of the line? Do you think that we're going to crown an NBA champion? Or if guys are going out and guys are busting the lines, that this is doomed to failure?
Oh!
I think the reason why guys are buzzing the line is because the line is there and not because that necessarily anybody is going to do a whole bunch of breaking protocol. And I wouldn't blame the snitch line on the pandemic finally getting inside of Disney. I mean, when you watch those clips and you talk to people inside, I know about three people inside, and they're like, dude, it's intense. You know what I'm saying? It's not infallible in that, like, you can still get Postmates. You know what I'm saying? You can still get whatever. And there's a very real possibility that, like, just on basic spec, this doesn't work, you know? And so it's going to be difficult to sort of blame people at the end of the day because, you know, unless we've got some sort of tracing documentation, which I don't think that we have, you're never going to know why any one thing got shut down or what didn't. So, you know, you got to understand, too, calling up an anonymous line to tell somebody you saw something, you know, is not necessarily mean the person that claims they saw was doing something wrong or committing a crime or anything like that. I mean, I just feel like in the chain of command, if I was running a team, I would say to my guys, hey, look, call us first before you call whatever the anonymous group thing is. Because like Key's example said, we're going to keep this in-house off the rip. Presuming it's not something that's terrible, you know what I'm saying? We're going to keep this in-house first so that we're not out here making it look like we're more concerned about other people than we are about ourselves. So man, I think this will level off as they actually start playing games. But you know those first couple of days of camp, you get there, you figure out who's at your bunk. You know what I'm saying? You figure out who's in the other bunks, and then you got to holler and let's see what's going on. It's a little hectic, and then by the time the first Monday comes, everybody knows what's going on.
It's only a couple things that happens in these situations, right? It's the it's Shaquita that knows a Clipper. She knows a Blazer. She knows a Rocket. And she decided that she going to do the Blazer rather than hang out with the Rocket. And the Rocket is going to tell on the Blazer.
Where you're going. Right.
That's the only – it's it. Those are the only things that you're dealing with when you're leaving the bubble. You ain't leaving the bubble to go get no food. You just said they can do Postmates. We all know that you can do that. So they're not going to Ruth Chris. They're going to call that in. They're only leaving the bubble to get some sort of
– bubble.
Some sort of soft skin around you. That's it.
Right.
Are you trying to figure out how to bring them in? You're not leaving to disrupt it to get no damn food. You're just not. And even if the weed man can bring it to you, if that's what you're going for, right. I think he can he?
It's not banned. You know, they've lifted that. And honestly, I think that was smart. I mean, if dudes are trying to sit around and blaze because they don't have anything better to do, you daggone sure better let them do that. You know what I mean? And so that's why I think that this is interesting because, like, how many things are there to complain about? You know, and if people are generally fearing for their safety, well, then get the hell off the snitch line. You better talk to these dudes. You know what I'm saying? You better talk to your squad about it.
I'm telling you, man, the Instagram model decided she wasn't going to hang out with the Milwaukee Bucks. She was going to hang out with the Miami Heat. And the Milwaukee Bucks got mad.
She ain't trying to win no ring.
But that she ain't, she don't care, but she ain't gonna be in the parade anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Y'all are terrible, dog. No,
man, it's the truth. We're not terrible, Yates. It's the truth. These girls that are out there, and it's been going on since I played, and even when I stopped playing, they hit the clubs, they hang around them, they know all the athletes, they claim they don't know them, but they know them, and then all of a sudden, they go inside the little, try to get inside the bubble. The girl just tweeted out the other day that somebody invited her into the bubble. Now, whether or not somebody really did,
she knows
multiple players on multiple teams. And whoever could close the deal and try to get her in the bubble, that's who she going to go with.
Which is fair. You know, get it how you live. You know what I'm saying? But if I'm a player on my team, unless that's somebody on my exact team, I'm not calling no sense line. That's just a waste of my time.
Man, you might not like the dude on your team. You might be hating on him just because. We've seen players on teams not get along. I was talking to the guys earlier about the same situation. I've been on a team where some stuff was going down, and one of our most notable players snitched on us. Oh, I said us. I mean on the team.
Yeah.
See how I put that?
Yo, Clinton Yates, speaking of rivals – Versus TV has announced Snoop versus DMX in 1 week. Who you got, Holmes? Who you got?
Okay, so this is an easy one for me, just because I think Uncle Snoop for me is just, it's not that he's more important to hip hop than DMX was, but the length and the breadth of his hits is just too long for me to consider DMX a real contender. The last thing I can remember that DMX sung that was tight was was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know what I'm saying, for somebody's viral video. And that's not a knock on what DMX brought to the game. It's just that his run was so much shorter in terms of all the bangers he put out. Snoop is still, but, you know, making music. Snoop is still evolving as an artist. Snoop is still around. You know what I mean? And so while pound for pound in those first, I don't know, 5, 8, 10 rounds, X might got some hits. They're all from the same generation. Nobody really grew with X in the same way. So Snoop wins it for me. However, this is one of those situations where I'm tuning in just to see both of them talk. You know what I'm saying? Because these two guys are going to have insane stories, and they're both great storytellers. I'm actually pretty pumped about it. I think it'll be better than that last one.
No, I think Snoop, Fab, be all honest so messed with you,
up that you can barely watch it.
To be all honest with you, I think Snoop going to smash him. Just because Snoop.
Oh, yeah.
Snoop,
I mean,
is
Snoop
just,
is a legend, legend.
But I ain't even talking about just
DMX is a legend with a lowercase L.
His flow.
You know, that's it.
His flow is ridiculous. His storytelling is ridiculous. And he could just come straight off the rip. You know? That's just.
I was really shocked that they paired those two up, to be honest with you, because and I know Travis was as well, because we all know.
Well, it's the length and the breadth of the hits that's really the difference.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You know, it's like Snoop had so many hits that I'm sure he's going to drop some that I forgot about. Whereas DMX ain't going to sneak up on me like that. I knew all of them.
Well, I mean, I basically think that they did it so that they could put those two dogs on the cover. You got the Doberman versus the Pitbull or the whatever that dog is. I didn't really look at it twice. So there's a gimmicky element to that, you know, but whatever.
Yes, Led Zeppelin or Rod Stewart?
Well, that's not a really direct comparison unless we're talking about perms between Rod Stewart and Robert Plant. If we're doing hairstyles, maybe. You know, Clinton, I wanted to ask you this because I know you're a baseball guy. And I asked you this during Take It or Shake It. We see Puig is now going to be in Atlanta with the Braves. Is Yasiel Puig's career to this point a disappointment as you see it?
I don't know that it's a disappointment in any regard other than I don't know that he ever got the situation he needed to in order to be able to flourish and become an everyday player. When he was out here in L.A., I remember what it seemed like right when he really needed somebody to just say, hey, get it together, and this is what you'll be able to do in the big leagues. Well, then, bang, next thing you know, he's down in Albuquerque because they just couldn't deal with it.
That's
ends up getting dealt to a couple different teams. And right now, it's like, okay, is Puig a bat that I would want on my bench? Absolutely.
Essentially,
I'm
going to sit
in the outfield every single day? Probably not. And so the disappointment comes in that I just don't think that he developed the way that, you know, he probably could have, considering how much it took him to get here. But I don't know that his talent was ever necessarily going to jump out any more off the charts. It was just going to be something that we got to see more regularly from him being able to be a pro. And now he's turned into a bit of a journeyman, which sucked because he was a phenom. And when you go from
that's
phenom,
it right there.
Journeyman.
That's it right there. The toolbox that guy has was not a journeyman toolbox. It was a multiple-time all-star toolbox, maybe even an MVP toolbox. And because not because of narrative or anything else, but because you just said it, Clinton, he couldn't conduct himself like a pro. Guys got tired of him, sent him to the minor leagues, moved him out to other teams. And
well,
it just feels that it's a disappointment because this is a guy that has so much ability and we're just not going to get the maximum amount of that ability.
Well, that's what I said, though. The start of his career, we was all in, and then he had a little bump, but he never corrected that bump, and it stayed, that bumpy course stayed on, and that's why he finds himself in Atlanta.
Yeah, but is that not a disappointment?
It's really – see, I don't look at it as a disappointment because, again – it's hard enough to make the majors, man.
Right.
And it's just hard enough to make the majors. And when you make the majors, you've made it to the top. So how could that be a disappointment?
Because he could have been an MVP. He could have been a multiple-time All-Star. He could go back. And I know you guys remember this. When he first showed up.
I could have played quarterback, too, if they'd have let me.
He was as popular of a player as we've seen in a really long time. There was even a brief conversation about who would you rather have, Trout or Puig, which now seems ridiculous because we know about Trout and Puig. But Yasiel Puig should not have been a cautionary tale. He should have been a guy that we're talking about, oh, he spent 10 years with the Dodgers and went to the All-Star game 5 times.
Travis, hold on. I mean, he's a cautionary tale, and not just in terms of who. I mean, I've never heard a story about Puig that was so outrageous that I didn't think that who he was didn't have something involved with him, people not wanting to deal with it. If Puig's name is Jake Steed or whatever it may be. You know what I'm saying? People might look at his antics as, oh, he's just a big leaguer. You know what I'm saying? So let's not forget about that element of things when it comes out. He was dealt with by not just this franchise, but plenty. You know, once you get a reputation as a guy who's not an American, that people kind of can't deal with you or whatever, you know, it's harder to stay around. And therefore, that system, in order to make you the guy you need to be to grow into that MVP caliber player that you talked about, Travis, it just doesn't happen as well. You got to do more work on your own back end. And he just didn't have that support system because of how hard it was for him to get to where he is. And so that's the caution I would say. Be careful with how some of these guys who you consider characters or some of these guys who you consider, you know, big personalities, about what you expect of them, because what is going to take for you as a franchise to support that is more than you realize.
Yeah, but it wasn't that he had a big personality. It's that his teammates hated his guts. There's a difference.
A lot of guys, dude, you know how many clubhouses you've been in where there's one guy that everybody hates. You know what I'm saying? If a guy can rake and the team doesn't have a problem with it, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's fun.
You're describing Jeff Kent, by the way.
I wasn't going to name any names, but there's a reason why I use Jeff as the first example, as the name in the first example of the last guy I'm talking about. You know what I mean? And so if people like a guy that everybody on the team hates, you've got to have the team step in and say, either we're dealing with this or not. And in this case, the team said we're not, you know, and it worked out for the Dodgers, sort of, as in they've been to plenty World Series or been to plenty playoffs. They just haven't gotten over the hump and either is bleak. So, you know.
Clinton Yates joining us here on the Sprint People's Hotline. Clinton, good to talk with you again. Thanks.
I'm calling the sun on you, Key, even from L.A.
No, you need to show up on time, sir. That's what we –
Hey, man.
You know.
All right, I'm trying, okay? I'm too busy reporting. I love y'all.
All right, love you too. My odds of going back-to-back are not looking great, guys. An update on the poll coming up next in the morning show on 710 ESPN. Doesn't look good, guys. It does not look good for my back-to-back. I had a runaway in our most recent one, but now this one that we did today. Here are the numbers on our poll where we were drafting the things that we are looking forward to doing once coronavirus is in the rearview mirror. LZ, you have the lead comfortably at 47%. Key, you are at 27%, and sadly, I am right behind you in last with 26%, so I'm going to need a rally if I'm going to go back-to-back.
I don't know about this snake draft. It's bogus.
Well, of course you don't care because you said Broadway. And once you started down that path in L.A., I'm like, Broadway's not even in L.A. So it's like, I figured you weren't trying to win anyway. And Travis, you know, I told you as soon as you had your first round pick what it was.
Don't worry about my picks. My picks are sincere to me, and that's what I'm looking forward to doing.
I liked you tugging at the heartstrings, Travis. I thought it was a fine
I was tugging
method.
Something else, Raj.
Okay, but maybe not the first round pick, but I see where you were going with it. And if people just heartless this early in the morning, Travis. You wait till the good-hearted people wake up. You'll be all right.
You have to take the Keyshawn method of drafting.
What's that?
Can you find a productive receiver in the third or fourth round?
Okay.
You made the mistake, Travis, of drafting a productive receiver first overall. That pick you made, that pick was going to be yours in the fourth round. Because none of us were going to make that pick.
Nope. It was what I would do first was the question. If I have the first pick, that's the first thing I'm looking forward to doing. I'm not saying it's everybody's pick. I'm saying it's my pick. I'm taking the Keyshawn approach.
That bad attitude might not be a good strategy either, Travis. I mean, you've got to have a good attitude about this. You know, people like nice attitude.
I'm fine. Yeah,
he seems sort of negative talking about a positive theme. That's what I'm talking about right now.
No one's going to buy it.
Key, you moved up a little bit. You're up to, you just dropped back down again. Never mind.
I'm going to win at the end. I care about it at the end of the day. I don't pay attention to stuff like this now. I mean, it doesn't do anything right now because it's not over. When it's over with, that's when it means something. And I think
that's what you said last time.
No, it's not what I said last time. The fact of the matter is I got some pretty good picks. I do know about Broadway. I have attended Broadway theater many times, and I don't need to continue to try to prove myself to one like Raj. And I do go to the gym, and I don't have to prove myself.
Well, you saw the Lion King. You saw the Lion King one time with the kids. That don't make you a Broadway expert. Stop.
I didn't say I was an expert, and I didn't see the Lion King with my kids. Mm-hmm. Now you're not gonna put things in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking at that East Costco samples too, Trav.
Perfect. Now you know you're right about that. I maybe should have done that number one. That because if we're being totally honest, that's probably the first thing. Wait, it's a green light? I'm going to speed to Costco and get my mini quesadillas. I'm going to do that for sure.
Go ahead,
Elsie.
I was in Whole Foods, man, and I saw them. They're trying to open up the little, you know, the little buffet lines again. Mm. But they had a guy running back and forth. So you got to go to the deli line first. Say, I want something from the deli, from the buffet. Then he walks over and scoop it to you and hand it to you. And I was like, are we so damn desperate for a buffet situation that we would much rather have a go-between to get the buffet food? Yeah. But according to you, that's where we're at.
Well, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. You guys ever made a bet where you were genuinely going to be in trouble if you lost it? Like something that you're not just kind of maybe embarrassing or whatever, where there was a real penalty on the backside because Post Malone has tattoos of both Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce because they had a beer pong match. Post Malone lost and had to get tats of both Mahomes and Kelce.
Nah, see, me, I'm not going to bet nothing I can't win. That's the difference.
That's not really a bet then.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to put myself out there like that. If I know I can't win, I ain't going to do it. If I know I can beat you at it, then I'm a bet. Or you know what I'm saying? Like you say, well, I don't know, 3-point shooting contest. I'll bet you on that because I can win that. You know, if you tell me a driving range and I'm going to hit 200 yards off the tee, I'm not betting you on that because I'm not going to win.
Yeah, I don't like betting anyway, but I definitely am not going to bet something that's going to put me in a tough situation, Travis.
Yeah, bet something in a tough situation, I know I'm going to lose.
Yeah, like
well, you're going to lose. You think nobody goes into a bet knowing you're going to lose. You think that you're going to win, but that's not a smart bet.
You want to bet when you know you're going to win.
That's not a bet, though, Key. That's just taking money from somebody.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
That's the whole object, right?
Yeah, the object's to win. Now, if you win by crook or hook.
But both of you guys have gone to Vegas. Both of you guys, I'm sure, have played cards or dice or whatever it is in Vegas. And the odds are you're not going to win. You do it anyway.
Yeah, but I know there's a chance, a strong chance that I can win. I just got to have the willpower to walk away.
You play the game to win.
You got to have the willpower to walk away. The problem is when you go to Vegas and you win and you try to walk away, all of a sudden, ding, 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 they get to call your name again. See, you want to turn around and go back.
I interpret anything that I spend in Vegas as just one less cocktail. So I'm not looking to win. I'm just saying instead of having 9 drinks, this is going to be 8. Or this is going to be 7 or whatever it is. I just assume.
Pretty soon it's 0. And yeah, pretty soon you paid $80 at Martini.
Exactly. Travis, I just assume I'm going to lose. You know, it's like we're borrowing money. Like, I don't borrow money that I need. I lend money that I'm not expecting to get back so that I'm all good when you don't pay me back. But if it's to the point in which I'm going to be hurt if you don't pay me back, then I probably shouldn't put myself in that position because – all of a sudden now, it's not just one person hurting, it's 2.
Well, in that case, pick up your phone when I call you during the break because I got something I need to ask you. All right, Cam Newton is he's questioning. He himself, how's he going to mesh with Bill Belichick? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.